So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I wonder how many of us could say, yeah, we have been that person that we've just gone through the motions. We come to church. We get a little sermonette for Christianettes. And we'll go home. But how many times have we just sat in the presence of God? Because it can be scary. Because when you sit in the presence of God, you can't hide behind anything. You can't hide behind your title. You can't hide behind what people think you are, or what people think that are who you are. You're just vulnerable. When you're in the presence of God, you know, there's a show called Naked and Afraid. Some of y'all know it. That's how you are when you're in front of God. You're just naked, man. There ain't no way, there ain't nowhere to hide. You can't go into the presence of God with your religious garb on. When I go before God, I don't go up there as pastor. I go in there as Ronnie. And that's where the rubber meets the road. This holy moment, I just want you. How many times? I've caught myself through this 21 days of focused prayer and fasting, of asking God for stuff, that he's your sugar daddy, that you just, every time you come to him, you just unload and telling him what you want, what you need. How many times have you just sat in his presence and give him glory, give him worship? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin the third part of a series. Thank you, guys. I'm going to begin the third part of a series that we began called The Path. And I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs. We'll be ending our 21 days of prayer and focused prayer and fasting. And I've had quite a few people who have mentioned either to me or our staff of how much you have enjoyed the morning devotions that we've put on there. How many would you would like those to continue? Okay, they're not. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. They're not going to continue because that's a lot of work. Just wanted to see how many was out there that would like it. Amen. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. I want to talk to you the subject this morning, the path, part 3. And I'm going to talk about why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to choose the right path? Well, I hope we're going to talk a little bit about it. Proverbs chapter 4, when you get there, say amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. It says, do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquired wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Is that what yours says? Okay. Then I got the wrong scripture up there. Let me see what mine says. Let me turn over to my Bible. I probably gave y'all the wrong ones. I know I did. That is not what I want. I'm wanting chapter 3. That's what I was wanting. Chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. But I'm going to read it for you while they've done that. It says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Or 3, 6 and 7, I'm sure. I'm sorry. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, last week we talked about looking ahead. And we use Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. And it says that the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. And the principle of the path is very simple, is that direction determines destination. Not your wants, not your hopes, not your dreams, but your direction, your path. And we get this when we get into cars and we're going to go somewhere. We understand that if you get on Highway 19 going north, you're not going to Homosassa. You're going to English. You're going to Yankee Town. You're going somewhere north, Red Level, but you're not going to make it there. However, there's a disconnect, though, when it comes to our marriage, who we're to date, what relationships we're to get in, our jobs, our careers, how we want to grow as people, how we handle money. And we forget this principle, and yet, in every arena of life, this principle, there's a path that we have to take, whether it be a financial path, a relational path, a materialistic path, a career path. Every area of our life, there is a path that leads to a destination. And we talked about how that every path that leads nowhere, nowhere is still somewhere. So every path leads to something. But knowingly or unknowingly, we choose paths in life that simply won't lead us to our desired destination. How many's ever got on a wrong road and you realize it once you got down the road? Well, then the question got to be, how do we keep from getting on the wrong road? Well, there's no surefire way, but the Bible gives us some indication of how not to end up somewhere that we don't want to be. Because what happens is we get there and we get mad with God. How many's ever gotten mad with God because you're at a destination that you blamed God over? I have. And it was not God, it was you. How many's ever gotten mad on a job? I don't need this job, I quit. And then you got home and realized you ain't got no groceries. Right? I mean, we've all done that. I haven't, but I've got mad and almost quit. I remember one time I almost quit, but I looked outside and I saw my car. And I thought, payment's coming due. I better not quit. Come on, somebody. What's wrong is that you chose to walk down a path that would never get you to your desired destination. God, give me the wisdom. Lord, give me the understanding. Give me the courage to see danger like Proverbs 27:12. To see the danger and get out of the way. Because the problem with the whole path situation is that the decisions we make today can have pretty serious implications for our future. Because if you knew today what you knew back then, some of your decisions would be different, wouldn't it? If you knew that that was going to happen, you would not have done that. You know, I was on vacation this past week. And I ate some food, and it looked good, and it was good. But then I knew where the path was taking me. I overate, and then I had one more piece because they had pineapple. And I said, I'm going to have me one more piece of pineapple as my dessert. And I had me some pineapple. And let's just say on the way home, I had to unbuckle some britches. I knew where the path was leading me, but I still did it anyway. So there are some paths that you might be a bit unsure of in the terms of where they lead you later on in life. But we know this, that life rarely gives us a do-over button. Wouldn't you like a do-over? Man, have you ever said something that as soon as it comes out of your mouth, it happens to me all the time. As soon as it comes out of your mouth, you're like, oh, there it is. It's gone. It's there. But it don't give you a do-over. If you had a do-over, you wouldn't have got as mad as you did. If you had a do-over, you might not have punished your kids the way you did. If you had a do-over, some of you wouldn't have had kids. If you had a do-over, some of you wouldn't be married to the person you married. But let's move on. If you had a do-over. But you just can't go back and unmake those decisions. Because of that, choosing paths, it is so important that we choose the right one. The problem though, that we don't always have enough information so that we don't know the future. Here's the good part. We serve a God who knows the future. That's why we cannot lean to our own understanding, but we must lean on the understanding of God, acknowledging Him in all of our ways. Amen. See, if you had enough information on hand to know whether a particular path would lead, doing life would be so much easier. Don't you wish you just could email God a question and He email you back, or text you? Snail mail would be fine with me. Whatever. I would wish that would happen, but it doesn't happen. How many times have you been to the doctor and they tell you what you need to do, and you go, yep, I will, all right, yep, I'm going to do that. And a week later, you didn't even finish the medication they gave you. Because having enough information is not the key to making the right choice on the path. If there was a computer that would spit something out for you, that would be great, but that's not going to happen. So we've got to understand that Solomon is the one writing this in Proverbs. Now, Solomon wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes and Lamentations. And so he was a wise man. I still struggle with them saying that he was the most wise man that has or ever will live. However, he had 300 wives and 800 concubines. As a man, he ain't very smart. Or maybe he is very smart to get that many women to get along with each other. Whatever the case is, God makes this offer to Solomon. Solomon takes over for his dad. His dad dies and he becomes king at an early age, somewhere between 17 and 20 years of age. And at such a young age, he's been given the responsibility of building the temple there in Jerusalem. And so one night, God communicates with him through a dream. And here's what God says to him. He says, Solomon, ask me for whatever you want. If you want long life, ask me for long life. If you want more wealth, ask me for wealth. If you want me to get rid of your enemies, ask me that and I'm going to give it to you. Now, boy, that's a good deal, isn't it? Some of us would have a list. But not Solomon. Not Solomon. God makes Solomon this offer, but Solomon says, God, I am overwhelmed with the burden of ruling over this nation because of my young age and this vast kingdom. I've got a lot of decisions to make. I honestly don't know what I'm doing. Matter of fact, in 1 Kings chapter 3, he calls himself, I'm just a youth. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a child. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. So if you're really offering me anything, then give me wisdom, give me discernment, and give me understanding. I need knowledge in the areas where I've had no education, where I've had no experience. Have you ever been in a situation where stuff comes out of your mouth and you're thinking, where did that come from? That's great stuff. Man, that's great advice. I don't know where that came from. It happens to me. Sometimes I'm preaching. I'm thinking, man, that's good. I'm going to sit down and listen to that. Because it just comes. Because it comes from the Word of God. It comes from God. He gives you the wisdom. So here's God's response to what Solomon had just asked. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Says, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, and there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be anyone like you. He was the most wise man that ever walked other than Jesus. So here's point number one is this, though. Don't rely on your own wisdom. If anybody were to rely on their own wisdom, it would have to be Solomon. Because, I mean, the dude was wise. The dude had discernment. The dude knew what was going on. He had, we already established, he had understanding. He had wisdom. He had discernment. We know that knowledge is not any good unless wisdom is with it. Because wisdom is having the ability to use the knowledge that you have. How many people know, folks, don't point at them if they're here, and you better not point up here. That have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know when to shut up. They don't know when to quit. I ain't going to say that in the 11 o'clock service because my wife will be sitting right on the front row pointing her hand up here. But when Solomon began to answer those questions, he didn't just rely on his own wisdom. He didn't just say, well, you know that I'm uber brilliant. I'm an uber brilliant guy, so I need to draw from my vast intellectual resources. No, that's not what he said. When I need help knowing the path to take, I just go on and on my own and trust in my own wisdom and trust in my own intuition because I'm all that in a bag of chips. That's not what he said. He said, if I need to make some decisions, I know that I'm going to need the help of God, knowing that the path that I go down, that I'm just not going to be able to tap into my own resources. I need the help of God. So how do I get that help? Solomon talks about choosing paths we should take in life. He answers in a way that might surprise you because he says, trust in the Lord. Here's the answer relating to what path that you got to walk in. Trust in the Lord. Pastor, what path do I take? Trust in the Lord. And in order to have trust with somebody, you must have intimacy with somebody or some type of a relationship with somebody. You off the street, I don't trust you. You think I'd give you the keys to my car to go gas it up? No, I ain't going to trust you. Some of y'all I know, I still don't trust you. Some of y'all are like, well, I wonder who he's talking to. You! No, I'm just kidding. Trust, you got to have a relationship. Here's what Solomon will say. Don't trust in your intuition. Don't trust in your own insight. Don't trust in your own wisdom that maybe even have come from God. But rather, you should trust and lean hard into and onto God. Because God knows what you need even when you don't even know what you need. Because the answers we need in life don't come through intuition, they don't come through insight, but a God who is a real and a God who cares. He's a real God dealing with real people, with real issues, with real paths, that if you get yourself in a mess, you in a mess. But if you will trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him and lean on Him, He will direct your path. So you've got to have a relationship with Him because He said, I know you're coming and I know your goings. I know what I put inside of you. I know what's coming down the pike toward you. And if you will listen to Him, He said, I will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He says, and lean not to your own understanding. Now that expression means to prop something up against something else. Your tendency and mine will be to make decisions based on how I see the world. Based on the way you were raised, based on the way that you was reared, based on our education, based on our experiences, we make decisions, right? And those are good indicators. However, the reason that we do this is because our tendency when we're facing a choice is always to lean hard on our experience. But how many knows that your experience will get you in trouble? Because not every, you know, just because you fixed it one way last time doesn't mean that it's going to fix it the same way this time. That's why you got to have some ingenuity. I wish that if you knew how to fix one car, you knew how to fix all of them. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice that you had one tool that fit everything? Oh my God. You know, having the right tools makes all the difference. I've got a lot of tools. I still don't know how to use them. But I got them in case somebody comes over to help me. Right? That's not to say that we shouldn't value the wisdom that comes from our experiences. I'm not saying that. Some of y'all are going to come out here, well, I'm not repeating anything. No, I'm not saying what I'm saying. I'm just saying lean hard on the understanding of God. I'm saying lean hard on God. We shouldn't... I'm not saying that we shouldn't appreciate advice from those that are around us who's been there and done that. A wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes. But that's not to say that we shouldn't value that wisdom, that we shouldn't learn from other people's mistakes, that we shouldn't appreciate the advice. But what I am saying is that with all of that, with all that you know, with all of your life experiences, with all of the good counsel that you might get from people, you still got to lean on him. Because he knows things that your buddy doesn't know. He knows things that your mama don't know. He knows things that your closest friend don't know. Instead, every day, choose instead to trust in him. Where it relates to your business, relationships, where it's based on your on anything in life, you got to depend on him. Don't lean on yourself. Don't drop yourself or don't prop yourself up on your own understanding. Point number two is this. Direction begins with submission. Whew, that's tight right there. Now, won't you unpack that? I believe I will. Because here's the deal. If you get advice from somebody, see here, now let me just go ahead and tell you. If you get a counseling session with me and I tell you to do something and you didn't do it, you ain't got no another one. Because you ain't going to waste my time. Right? Because if somebody who don't respect your time also don't respect your advice. So I'm not, you know, you ain't going to get three strikes you out with me. No, you're going to get one. Yeah, you ain't do what I told you last time. No. Here's the deal. See, direction begins with submission. Because sometimes people give you direction, but you won't submit to their instruction, so therefore you don't receive the direction. And if you don't submit to what God has said, then you are not getting godly direction. Well, what is God saying? Well, it's in black and white and red. If you don't submit to this, then you're not going in the right direction, because a direction begins with submission. The wisest man in the world says, if you want to end up on the right path, if you want to get your life headed in the right direction, that you need to know that finding direction doesn't begin with finding direction. I'm going to say that again. Finding direction doesn't begin with finding direction. Because according to Solomon, direction begins with submission. In other words, submission precedes direction. That God wants you to be submitted before you ever try to go in a direction. It all begins by trusting God with all of your heart. God, as hard as it is, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to lean on my own understanding. Now, when I say that, listen to me closely. I don't want to offend anybody. But when I say I'm going to trust God with my finances, I've been around Pentecostals long enough. Charismatics and flaky people. Pastor, you calling all of us flaky? Yes. No, I'm not. But how many knows there's a lot of flaky people in Pentecostal and faith-based and all that? There's a lot of flaky people. If you sit next to one of them, just kind of bump them. Say, cheer up. But there's some flaky people. When I say trust God with your finances, it doesn't mean, well, I'm just believing God's going to bring it in and I'm not going to do anything. No, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, says a man that don't work shouldn't eat. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about, why do I got to go all explain all this stuff? I'm not talking about if you're legitimately disabled or something. You know, I'm not talking about that. However, some of us let people legitimize our disability. And, you know, you got a case of lazy. They'll be in the 11 o'clock service. I'm just practicing on y'all. They'll be in, because, you know, if they was lazy, they wouldn't get up at 8:30 or get here at 8:30 in the morning. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's all them lazy people be here about 11 o'clock, dragging in about 11:15. I'm not going to be directed by my financial fears or my anxieties. Instead, I'm going to trust in you. Now, here's what he said in verse 6, right? Verse 6, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In your financial ways, in your dating ways, in your entertainment ways, in your morality ways, in your professional ways, in your free time ways, in your entertainment ways, in all of your ways, not just your religious ways. You better preach. Not just your religious ways. How many know people get religious? Not just your religious ways, not in just your Sunday best ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means that we live, that we learn to live, inviting God into every part of our lives. That's what that means. Every part. Not just, no, you know, God, I want you to be a part of my healing, but not my finances unless you giving, not taking. God, I want you to be a part of my marriage as long as you're fixing them and not working on me. God, I acknowledge you that, Lord, they need some help, but Jesus, leave me alone. Here's the promise that we acknowledge God in our relationships, we acknowledge him in our finances, we acknowledge him in our families, we acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will make your paths straight. The same verse in the New Living Translation, I love the verbiage of it. It says this, seek his way, his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's the New Living Translation. The expression literally means to make the way clear. In other words, he'll get you through the traffic jams of life. He'll provide road signs. He'll provide maps you can understand. He will provide a way over the potholes. He'll help you navigate through untraveled territory, but you got to remember that submission precedes direction. Well, everybody knows that hindsight is, yeah, we know that. That's why God, who knows our future, says to you and me, would you please acknowledge me? Would you come to me before you find yourself at the fork in the road? Pastor, it's got to be God because I'm getting a promotion. You might get yourself in a mess because you ain't ready for the promotion. Surely, Pastor, listen. Would you be willing to come to God before you set off on that new path? You know, I've talked to numerous people, and I'm not saying this because of that they moved away from our church, because I'm not saying that. But there's a couple who are good friends of mine. I haven't seen them in a while, but they're good friends of mine. They moved away many years ago, and if you ask them today, they said the worst thing we ever did was move away from Crystal River. But they did it because the money was better. Are you listening to me? Well, was it God? We thought it was because it was a promotion. That's what he said to me. But it turned out it was not. If I could do over again. Oh, if I could raise my children in church, they might not be in prison. If I could raise my children by the word of God, they might not be crazy today. If I would have just went to the house of God and put my marriage and my relationship with God first and put it together first, it could have been, well, Pastor, I didn't do all that. Okay, all right. Well, you're at a fork today. What are you going to do? You're going to keep going down the same road, but Proverbs 27:12 says that a wise man sees the danger and gets off the highway. A wise man gets off the exit, gets back on going in the right direction. What we need on the front end is more submission. We don't need more information. We don't need more clarity, more wisdom. We need submission. I'm not talking about to me. I'm talking about to God. Because the truth is, we've all taken good information in our lives and ignored it. How many times has somebody warned you about something, but you didn't take that advice? No, you didn't look right over it. But I'm in love. I found my soulmate. I didn't know soulmates lasted 3 weeks. But when we wake up in our lives and make the daily decision to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, before we have all the information, before we know all the options, we acknowledge Him. That God, whatever you want to do. You know, listen, and I'm not saying I'm all that, but I know my own life. I've had 33 opportunities to leave this church and go to bigger churches, and or about 27 of them were bigger churches at the time. Now there's only about 5 that are bigger than where we're at right now. But they were bigger churches, and one of them was going to literally triple my salary. It's like, I told my wife, you go start packing while I pray about it. Come on now, I'm just a dude, right? I mean, come on, somebody. I don't know. How many of you know somebody's going to tell you they're going to pay you 3 times what you get paid? You'll be like, oh, yeah, that's got to be God. Oh, you go on pack. I'm going to pray about it. But my wife was, you know, and I was kind of kidding, kind of. But my wife's like, I ain't got to pray about it. I go, woman, you better pray. You better go in your prayer closet and pray. Don't you come out until you get a yes. No. But I'm still here. I know that you've got some insight. See, point number 3 is this. I think that's where I'm at. Yeah. Don't be a wise guy. Is that me? Don't be a wise guy. Good. I make sure it wasn't yours. I love you, but man, I won't be swapping sweat with you. Hey, he got engaged over the weekend. Now, come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. God gave him a promise and Lauren a project. I know you've been there for 20 years. And I know you've been married for a while already. I know that you're educated. I know that you have some insight. I know that you have some experience. I know that you've read some books. That's all great. But don't be wise in your own eyes. You ever meet people who they think they're the center of the universe. They know it all, did it all, seen it all, and tell you how to live your life. The ones that get me is telling you I love those people who tell you how to lose weight and they big as a house. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to run more, preacher. While they're eating that cornbread, dipping in that buttermilk. That's a southern thing. I went on a diet. I had to get on 3 diets just to get enough to eat. That slim fast don't work when you dip your cornbread in it, but anyway. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that's enough, because it's not. Now, this is important, guys, because you know the story of Solomon, or many of you do, and you know that with all of his knowledge and with all of his wisdom, with all of his experience, there was an area in his own life where he chose to trust in his own wisdom. The one area that he quit trusting the Lord, he decided that instead of trusting God to protect Israel, he would marry the daughters of foreigner kings and emperors in order to form alliances. And it began to split the kingdom. As wise as he was, he's the one said, acknowledge him in all your ways, but he didn't. And in the area where he didn't is where the trouble came. Can I tell you, the area where you don't acknowledge him is where the trouble's going to come. I mean, in those days, that's the natural thing that they did. In those days, that would have been a good planning, but in doing this, he disobeyed God. For one reason or another, this is the arena of life that Solomon decided to trust in his own understanding, and he wrecked his kingdom. And it damaged his legacy. It divided his family, and ultimately divided the kingdom of Israel into two. Because he went with what he thought was right instead of acknowledging God in all of his ways. That's why smart people can make stupid decisions. That's why marriage counselors get divorced. Why financial planners go bankrupt. Why pastors can get burned out and walk away from God. You see, information isn't enough. Our own intuition and wisdom isn't enough. Insight and experience isn't enough. We don't need earthly guidance alone. We need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So let me ask you. Can you think of a time when you acknowledged God in all of your ways? God, I'm acknowledging you now. I'm desperately in need of your guidance. You notice we always ask for guidance once we're in trouble? We always ask for guidance once we're in trouble. Even the areas where I believe that I'm able to manage on my own because of my own experience and knowledge, I still need to acknowledge God. Now, I don't want to be legalistic on this, so I'm going to say almost every day, because maybe it ain't every day, but almost every day. And I can tell you when I do it. I mean, I have my morning Bible time where I read the Bible. I have my morning prayer time, but I don't know why. when I get in the shower, I always ask God, Lord, lead me and guide me today. Right after I say, thank you, God, for hot water. I don't know, I just thank God for hot water, man. Hot, clean water. Come on, somebody. Whew. I'm like, thank you, Lord. This feels so good. Lord, just help me today. Help me today. Guide me today in the way I should go. Because I realize that when I refuse to acknowledge Him, hear me, my pride, my arrogance, my self-importance will eventually override any amount of wisdom, discernment, and common sense I might ordinarily have. I've learned that if I depend on myself, no matter how capable I might be, I'm going to wreck my life. I know what a mess I'm capable of making out of my life. And so, I choose to acknowledge Him. So I choose to acknowledge God. When was the last time that you acknowledged God in the world of your finances? When was the last time you acknowledged God in your marriage? I mean, truly acknowledge Him. Listen, I'm going to tell you. I mean, I know a couple of people who says they've been married for years, and they go, we've never had a cross word. I'm like, you liar. That is not me and Sherry. I need the Lord. I'm just being real, man. I love my wife. But I need God to help me understand her. And all the men who ain't scared say amen. Amen. And then all the women go, I know that's right. Because men, we ain't very hard to understand. Yeah, because we simpletons, but anyway. It don't take much for us. Good hot meal. Cook it in the kitchen and in the bedroom doesn't hurt. But you need the help of God to understand one another. I don't understand women. I don't understand why they get so excited about stuff. I mean, I get a new wallet, I don't go crazy like they do when they get a new purse. And I don't need seven wallets. Just one. Come on. Baby, if the shoe fits, buy it in every color. You know what I'm saying? That's my wife's motto. You need the help of God. When was the last time that you acknowledged God in the world of your profession? Maybe you own a business. Maybe you're the boss. Maybe you're a supervisor. Maybe you're a worker. Have you acknowledged God? Lord, I want you to be glorified because you're the only Bible that some people ever read. And some of us is not enough of the Bible to convince anybody around us to serve Jesus. When was the last time? If you're a college student, have you ever acknowledged him in your education? Maybe you're not in college yet, but you're headed there. Maybe you're not in college, but you're headed to the workforce. Whatever the case is, have you acknowledged, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to lean on you and trust whatever your paths might lead me in my life. Because if you don't, you might knowingly or unknowingly choose a path that will take you where you don't want to go. And yet when you find yourself at the fork, you have two options. Keep going where you're going or change. But if you'll acknowledge him, he'll meet you there. I don't know who I'm talking to. He'll meet you there. You know, people ask me, they ask Pastor Steve, they ask other pastors, they ask other Christians, what should I do? And we can give you our opinion. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. And yet from time to time, we discover the path that we were supposed to travel on. That doesn't mean that the path God leads us down is not void of challenges or even pain. I knew a guy and I love him. I love him. He's a very wise man, but I think he's completely wrong here. Because he says, oh, if it's the Lord's will, it'll just work, everything will go smoothly. Tell that to Paul. Tell that to Jesus. It don't go all that way. That's why you got to have a relationship with him. Has God ever told you to do something? It was hard and it was rough and you went down a rough path, but you knew it was the Lord. You didn't understand, but you knew it was God. In areas where others might see me as wise, I choose nonetheless to run to God, to lean completely on him. You're not smart enough, I'm sorry. You don't have enough life experiences to make that decision. You need God. What's my next one? I have no idea where I'm at. We need God. Why is it so hard for me to acknowledge you in all my ways? Would you stand to your feet with me tonight, today?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.